sun, don't we?
Yeah. So don't, why don't you tell me about the three remittance men?
Well, Mr. McKenna, of course, that was in the book, and Mr. McKenna, who was, Ben Smith wrote up so nicely about him, so there needn't be any more said. Except I would add that Mr. McKenna used to donate very generously to the football team in Abbotsford during the latter part of his life. You know, when they wanted to get the games not organized for the season, he'd always throw a few bucks in, because he loved football. And then there was another Mr. Morgan who lived in Abbotsford, who was a member of the Otter Grove Elks and quite a good musician, who had an orchestra around Otter Grove and area for quite a number of years. And he was the organist for the Otter Grove Elks for a few years in the mid-20s. And also secretary. And then Mr. Whitby, I believe, was a remittance man. Lived on North 256. I beg your pardon. Originally, just prior... Good morning.
Hi.
He lived on Fraser Way in the place that the Penzers own for a short while.
Oh.
And then he moved.
Then it's on the other side.
256 north, about a half a mile north of the river. And then they had three children, and later moved to Haney. That's nice.
Okay.
Right. Mr. Green was another colorful character in Otter Grove who lived here, oh, probably from about 1912. He went to the old folks' home in Camelots in 1927. But anyway, he had served his time in England, London to be exact, at Huntley and Palmer's Bakery. And the old boy used to bake homemade bread, but he was, for want of better words, filthy dirty. Unbelievable. And he wanted to enter his bread in the fair at Aldergore, and some of the fair dignitaries pooh-poohed him and said he couldn't enter. And he said, well, he said, I belong to this association, I've paid my dues, I'm going to enter my bread. Well, he entered bright white, he entered his white bread, but he didn't take a prize. So then the next year, not to be outdone, he said to the fellows, well, I'm going to enter in the big. No, you're not. No, you're not. He said, you didn't win a prize last time. That doesn't mean you said I can't do it this time. Well, I would rather you wouldn't. Well, he says, I'm going to. But I'm going to enter in brown bread this time. So the old boy baked up batch of brown bread, and the judges proceeded to do their duty, and the old boy went first prize over all the homemade bread in the village. Then Mr. Green proceeded to ream out all the dignitaries in the hall, telling them that he could bake bread better than anybody around here. The Lord, nobody would eat it. Hygienic conditions. But gradually through the years, he got quite infirm. And he went to live in the old folks' home in Kamloops. And maybe I shouldn't really mention this, but I guess the first thing they did was turn the hose on. He That's probably the first he's had in 20 years. But the poor old fella, he, I guess, institutionally, he couldn't adapt. And he was only, to the best of my knowledge, he was only up there a month or two.
Shock of having a bath?
I think so. I believe that.
I hear we had several patients like that one time. Boy.
I can tell you another
story. You'd almost scrape the dirt off him.
This isn't along, quite along that line, but this is a well-known, I'm not going to tell you his name, but he was a well-known pioneer in the Alger area. And in that day and age, most of the men, I guess probably all men, just about in those little days, farmers, had Stanfield's underwear in.
Yeah.
And they always slept in their underwear. Well, this gentleman had to go to the Royal Columbian Hospital. And of course, the first thing they said, well, Mr. X, you can't wear those underwear. You've got to go in a nightgown. Oh, no, he said, no way. Because the old boy was getting on. Late 80s. He said, look, I slept in Stanfield's every night. He said, if you put one of those on here, he said, I wouldn't last till morning. So by golly, old boy, I guess he defied all the dignitaries in there, and he slept in his Stanfield's underwear all the time. Sometime on the, I'll tell you who it is.
Well, that's a clean story. You can tell that. You can tell who that was. Nothing embarrassing about that.
Mr. Philip. You probably guessed it, but I didn't say that. I don't know whether John would appreciate that, but then lots of jokes I could tell too about my dad too.
Yes.
So I cover up. But I'll tell you one story about my dad. He came to Alder Grove in 1911. He was 22 years old, and he got in the shop there, and he had to set what they call set wagon tires, and those were the old wooden wheels, and they had an iron hoop. Well, after they got pounded on the road, I guess the wood sort of got dried out and shrank, and the iron would have a tendency to sort of stretch itself, and then these tires would fall off the wheels. Well, then there were two ways to fix it. One was to wire them on to save the hoop. The other one was probably get the tires as close as they could and throw them in water for 3 or 4 days to tighten them up. But then that didn't work either. And then the third alternative, and the proper one, of course, according to my dad, take them to the blacksmith shop. And then we would take these wheels and these iron tires, I did feel it like that. And you had to take the big hoop and put it in the fire and heat it and shrink it. And they had a machine called that would grip it. You'd heat the iron and you'd grip it here and here, and it would pull all this in, and you could hammer that down again, and then that would shrink it to, oh, you could take it about a inch and a half of the diameter of the wheel. Well, then you take the iron tires and make a fire all around them and heat them up to what they call a cherry red heat, which is about the heat of the sign there or this little sign. And the amazing expansion on that on a piece of iron that size would be hard to believe, but it would actually expand about an inch and a half. Well, then you could drop them right over there when it was hot, and sort of screw them up so that, you know, they were even on both sides. And then we had a wood tank with a handle on, and then when the wood would burn a little bit, but it didn't bother all that much. But once you got them set to where you wanted, you quickly dumped And then the iron, of course, upon cooling, contracted, and these tires were tight. But anyway, the story I was going to tell you was the first set that Dad had done, he said to Mr. Ed Goldsmith, now that's another old timer.
Did you know Ed Goldsmith by any chance?
Yeah, I knew of him.
You would know his sisters, of course.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Ed helped my dad from all the years I can remember, and even helped me after my dad passed on in 1938. And anyway, Dad said to Ed, he said, come on, look at these tires, he said, these wheels. He said, I got them all fixed up. So Ed said, well, let's have a look at them, Harry. So Ed took one, oh my God. Dad, what's the matter, Ed? Harry, he says, you damn fool. He says, you've got those goddamn spokes in backwards. Oh, no, they all messed up. Well, Ed said, oh, Harry, he said, never mind. Well, Dad said, well, gotta knock them all off and put the spokes in. And then he said, Ed says, I'll help you, Harry. And by gosh, he helped Dad. They had to knock those darn thing wheels off. They must have had another jump because
it would be on tight, wouldn't it?
Yeah. They knocked them off, put the spokes in the right way, because they were what they called dished. They weren't straight, they had to be dished. So when they're dished, they're sort of concave, and they had an enormous wrinkle. But anyway, to make a long story short, Ed worked with my dad all night, and they got those darn wheels. But that's what kind of a guy Ed Goldsmith was. He would do anything to help. Say something next week.
Well, you come back next week then.
Yeah.
Is that a guarantee?
No.
Why not?
Next month when I bring the dog in, or when I come in here. Williams, who drilled wells in the area. He not up this way, but a lot around Murrayville, Milner, and that sort of thing. Artesian wells. And they, in some instances, in Lanny, I think I'm correct in saying, They drilled these wells about 150 or 200 feet, but they used a very small pipe, and they actually got you've heard of artesian wells.
Yeah, my grandfather had one in Langley.
And there was one, the old Langley High School that I went to, and which was the high school from about 1922 till whenever they built the new one, which I don't remember. It had an artesian well there, and it took me the longest time from all of to get used to the water there. It tasted kind of salty, not salty, but sort of brackish, for want of better words. And after a while, I got a taste for the water, and it was all right.
Mm-hmm.
I could go to drink that water, mm-hmm. from the old water, but took me a long time to get used to it. And there was another artesian well, and it still might be flowing, right by P.Y. Porter's store in Murrayville. There was a horse watering trough there. You would know something
still
about
there.
It.
Right.
Still there.
Yeah.
And they had a pipe coming out. And that was, my goodness, there was a flow of water there that would be about like a tap. An average kitchen tap on at least half force.
Yeah, my grandmother had went 90.
And we always used to stop there, and that was lovely water, mm-hmm. cold and clear. And yet, that was only, what would you say, that would only be a mile from the old Langley High School.
Mm-hmm.
But that water had a lovely taste.
Mm-hmm.
There was no, it wasn't a little brackish or maybe it was sort of alkali what we had in the high school.
Yeah. Well, see, my grandmother's house was right behind the high school on Roberts Road.
Oh, yes.
And it wasn't any more than was like my aunt's, and it would go over. They'd take a shortcut over the fence, and it's walked right across to the back of the school.
Mm-hmm.
But she had an artesian well.
Yeah, there were lots of them there.
And it was real good water.
Yeah.
And it's kind of soft, like, feeling to it, like, you put your hands in it, so kind of felt like a soapy feeling to it, but it was this real soft water. Yeah.
And
it was good, that one.
There must have been dozens and literally dozens of wells, but those are the only two that I could remember.
Yeah. I don't know about McCloud's. McCloud's were next door to Grandmother's.
Oh, yes. My grandmother's farm. I remember them.
Yeah. And then with the high school is where McCloud's high school now. The new one. That is on the high school. But I always remember Aunt Katie saying she used to, they had kind of a boardwalk all the way across, and maybe you'd go over and take a shortcut to this school at the back. But they used to be cowards in there. It was a big bull. She used to hop the fence and she'd run like the devil. I'm sure she got to the back of the school. Through this field.
I remember one year when I went to high school, well, it would be maybe 30, 31, 32, or 33, somewhere in that era, that for 3 weeks, we were in the bot, we could, where we were, particularly in first year high, was the old chemistry lab. It was the lowest room, mm-hmm. and it was on street level. And the fog was so severe, you couldn't see across the Fraser Highway.
Yeah.
And that held for 3 weeks.
You used to get terrible fogs.
Yes.
We were going to my grandmother's and you couldn't see a thing.
So my dad used to say you couldn't see your hand before your
face. No, you couldn't hardly. That's true. Yeah.
Where we are now is in Langley at White Oaks, just opposite Save-On Foods, but on 201, about a block or so off Fraser Way. And we look east and we have a wonderful view of Mount Baker.
Yeah, yeah, Golden, I do too. Ears, I didn't have it right now.
And we've had it foggy there.
Mm-hmm.
When we've had this kind of weather. Mm-hmm. Not so thick as it used to have.
When I went through Langley yesterday, but as far as the tracks, the fog just ended right there.
Yeah, isn't it amazing?
It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then the sun's out.
Just incredible.
Yeah. Because you figure the closer you get to the river as you're going west, you would get more fog, wouldn't you? You know, from the moisture. That's why that Mission Bridge is so bad.
Yeah.
You know, this time of year, they get that cold water and then the fog, the air is, and then the bridge gets ice.
How many books change of subject have you sold?
We're just going to do a count here in a minute.
Oh, yeah. Any idea, ballpark figure?
Somewhere around 500 so far.
How many did, was it 5,000 was that the run?
4,000.
Oh, 4,000. Yeah.
4,060.
It's not like, a big pardon. It's not like they ever have an edition.
It won't. It's a limited edition.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Oh, well, that of course that's there's meth in your madness there too, because that means to say that if somebody, we could sell more. Well, then that defeats that.
I had seven pounds yesterday. You just read the promise.
Tony Eberts did a nice write-up on Sunday in the paper.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one lady phoned all the way from Terrace.
How about
how you check down the paper?
When the going gets a little tough and sales start falling off.
No, they're not going too fast.
No, that's fine. But
are you too
I'm
to
always
resource
the one
center?
That looks on the black side of things. If these bookstores, how much commission are they?
We'll look at them later.
We'll look
at them later.
Yeah, because they're going pretty good so far.
You're going to have to put that on your calendar to come out for that. You go to the Langley Seniors Resource Center?
Nope, never been there yet.
Why
that's
not?
Something.
That's a new one. Yeah.
I'm too young for that. Yeah, that's quite a
Jean Buxton goes.
Yeah.
She works her little butt off in the kitchen.
We have several. Well, there are some in.
How would you like to go there today?
In our too busy.
You mean
I
you're
got
too
out
busy?
This morning. My wife won't let me out today.
On your way home, just stop by there and drop these off for us. See, we've got all these.
I got the dog. But I tell you, wait a minute now, just to call you. I tell you what I could do though. I will take them. I'll give them to one of the ladies that goes there,
okay.
Does volunteer work.
You might find some of those people would be interested in coming that day, or those one of those 2 days. But we expect
you to... Oh, Saturday, February 26th.
Yeah.
Oh, 10 a.m. Now, this is at the resource center?
No, that's here. That's
here.
But I want maybe some of the people who visit there to come over to here.
Introduction to pioneers.